0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on transfer deadline day. Rangers complete the signing of Nicholas Raskin. Will they add any more before the end of the window? Celtic look to be done in incomings, but Georgios Giakoumakis hasn't left the club yet, and big moves happening and about to happen up and down the country as we tick towards that midnight deadline. In the company of two students of the game who will of course be across all the big moves, it's Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson.
Well, it's another midweek fixture card to look forward to after an action-packed weekend of drama. But before that, as you say, Gordon, it's transfer deadline day. And when you think there's not much action going on, all of a sudden, stories start to seep through. I feel like we've got a busy night ahead with all the transfer action going through.
Yeah, maybe not two yellow ties, two hoodies in the studio tonight, but we're still excited to hear all the news. Every supporter looking to their club to see if they're going to add before the window closes.
It didn't bode well, did it, when during the news he turned to you and said, was this the last day of the transfer window, eh?
Just goes to show you the problems I had at Airdrie when he was director of football.
I was having a wee conversation.
01419511025. To answer his question, it is indeed the last day of the transfer window. Less than 6 hours to go until it slams shut, because it never closes gently, does it? It always slams shut. So really, last chance for you to get your final thoughts across. And the great thing about a night like this, it's to fans of every single team out there. And it's very simple. What do you make of the business you've done so far? What do you hope happens between now and midnight? And if it does end like this, will you be happy with the window? Doesn't matter what team you support, that question works for everyone. What do you make of the business so far? What do you hope happens until midnight? And if it ends like this, will you be satisfied with your work in the window? 0141 951 1025. All about transfers tonight. Of course, we do have big games to look forward to, particularly tomorrow. But we've even got one tonight between Ross County and Hibs. A couple of Scottish Cup ties. Cove against Ayr, Inverness, Queen's Park as well. But it's transfer deadline day, so come on, there are no rules at this point. You can phone up and hope that your team makes a last minute dash for a player that's well out of your price range. We couldn't care less. You can dream big until midnight. So 0141 951 1025, please do get in touch. In terms of big business done already, we're about to get a full roundup from Andrew McLean, but I don't think it's much of a secret. Nicholas Raskin is over the line. So Rangers fans, what do you make of that? That's two signings in. Is that enough for you? Or would you be looking for more between now and midnight? Let us know. 01419511025. Celtic, maybe a bit of work to be done outgoing rather than incoming. I can see Motherwell making moves right now. I can see St Mirren being linked. All sorts. In fact, let's go to a man who's far more across these things. Andrew McLean is going to give us an update. He's been all across transfers on behalf of Clyde One Super Scoreboard all day. Andrew, let's start with Glasgow's big two then. Give us an update on the picture at the moment.
Yeah, well, we'll start with Rangers, shall we? Because they have made, what do we say, is the biggest transfer in Scotland so far today. You mentioned it, Nicholas Raskin. That deal is done, confirmed by the club. He's been at the training ground today. He's also been at Ibrox this evening as well. Rangers saying he's signed a long-term deal. I understand that's through to 2027. He's, of course, their second January signing after Todd Cantwell. But someone that won't be joining this window is Morgan Whittaker. So much talk about him in the last couple of weeks, but it looks as if that deal is off and he'll remain at Swansea for the rest of the season. A position to look out for, though, is centre-back. Michael Beale has referenced it a few times. Philip Hellander, he is of course still out injured. Michael Beale sees James Sands as a midfielder rather than a defender, so it doesn't leave them with much depth in that position. So I think if something else is to happen for Rangers tonight, it'll be at centre-back. As for Celtic, Ange Postecoglou has spoken today. He's not expecting any incomings. He did all his business early. Alistair Johnson, Yuki Kobayashi, Tomoki Iwata all came in first, and then Hyun-Gyu Oh joined last week. So it will be outgoings you look at in terms of Celtic tonight. Postecoglou saying there could be four or five. The big one, of course, Georgios Giakoumakis. He's on his way to Atlanta United. It looks as if it's a deal of around £3.5 million. That could rise to just over £4 million. Looks as if that one will will get done before the deadline at midnight tonight. Other players to look out for, Yosuke Idiguchi. He could be on his way back to the J League. Hasn't worked out for him since he arrived this time last year. Oliver Abelgaard joined on loan in the summer and has really struggled for game time. Aalborg in Denmark are interested in taking him on loan, so his loan deal at Celtic could be cancelled. Stephen Welsh, another name that's being banded about as a potential exit. That one looking less likely, but still plenty of business to be done, I think, before the midnight deadline tonight.
Hey, come on then, 01419511025. You heard from Andrew, Nicholas Raskin is done. So Rangers fans, how happy are you with him? It's the 2nd January signing. If there is anything to be done between now and midnight, what do you hope it is? It doesn't look particularly likely, which would lead us on to the next question. If Rangers are done there with those two signings, Rangers fans, is that enough for you, or were you hoping for more? How would you sum up the window? 01419511025. Celtic fans, it's all a bit organised on the incoming front. It was done early. Giakoumakis is still in the building though. I take it you assume he goes between now and midnight. What other players do you think need to go out the door to get some more game time? 01419511025. It's not just Glasgow's Big Two though, Andrew McLean. There's been loads happening today already, and even more in the pipeline. Let's start with some of our local sides, if you like, the likes of St Mirren, Motherwell. What's interested you there?
Yeah, it has been a really busy day, especially for St Mirren. I was speaking to Stephen Robinson earlier on. He was saying that Ethan Erehon and Dylan Reid had both completed medicals. Ethan Erehon is on his way to Lincoln City. His deal at St Mirren was up at the end of the season. St Mirren managing to get around £300,000-£350,000 for him. That deal should be completed tonight, as well as Dylan Reid, the youngster who has been making his way into the St Mirren first team. He's on his way to Crystal Palace, so a big move for the youngster. That has sort of released funds for Stephen Robinson to work with, and the really interesting one from their perspective is Tony Watt. It looks as if they've won the race to sign Tony Watt on loan for the remainder of the season. Of course, Eamon Brophy has gone to Ross County. Jonah Ayunga is injured, so it was a position that Stephen Robinson was wanting to strengthen, and Tony Watt to St Mirren is one that looks as if it could happen tonight, also with a potential option to make that deal permanent in the summer. Another couple of deals that seem to be bubbling away. St Mirren potentially interested in taking Rangers midfielder Alex Lowry, on loan as well, and Thierry Small, who's a left-back from Southampton. There was actually some big news as well just before we came on air regarding Kilmarnock. Kyle Lafferty has left the club by mutual consent. Not really sure that anyone was expecting that, but he has gone before tonight's deadline. A really short statement from the club as well, saying it's with regret that they've parted company. And you mentioned Motherwell as well. It's been pretty quiet in terms of ongoings. The club are working on things. They're hoping to get a couple of bodies in the door. Nothing done yet. Two confirmed outs though. Connor Shields is leaving on loan. He's joining Queen's Park, and Sondre Solholm has secured a permanent move back to Norway.
Well, listen, we can keep in touch with Andrew all throughout the show. I won't ask him to rhyme off any more because it's getting hard to keep up with. There have been so many. But 01419511025, give us a call right now. What do you make of your transfer business so far? What do you hope happens between now and midnight? And will you be satisfied if it all ends like this? Some really interesting ones there. What about you, St Mirren fans? Happy with Tony Watt, man of many Scottish Premiership clubs? That's going to happen tonight by the looks of it. Would you be happy with that one? Kyle Lafferty, Andrew's right, leaving Kilmarnock this evening. What do you make of that, Kelly fans? Let's get stuck straight in. Keith is a Rangers fan. Are you happy with Rangers business so far, Keith?
Absolutely superb. Todd Cantwell really, really excites me. His passing ability is brilliant. I've watched him online and stuff like that before he came. But Raskin, I'm really, really delighted we've got him because he reminds me of Gattuso a wee bit. And I'm really excited. Hopefully we sign Whittaker as well. Before they did, that's where I'm going. I'm just heading home to sit and watch Sky News. But I've got a wee point to make regarding.
Well, let's deal with a couple of them first, then we'll come back in on a second point. Just make sure you don't sit and watch the TV until after 8 o'clock, though, Keith. Get your priorities in order. The Nicholas Raskin, Gordon, similar to Todd Cantwell in the sense that it was a name, everybody knew it, everybody knew Rangers wanted it, it was ongoing, and now it's over the line.
Yeah, and the positive thing is, as the manager said, that he didn't want short-term fixes. It's a long-term contract, Gordon. So he's going to have plenty of time to bed in, show the Rangers fans exactly what he can do. I think it excites Rangers fans because new faces are coming in. They were pleased with Cantwell at the weekend. I spoke to a couple of people who were at the game. Yeah, he only played, what, 60-plus minutes, but very pleased with what they've seen, especially with a guy that hadn't played a lot of football. This guy will excite them. I think the Rangers transfer business has been okay. I know sometimes you get a bit greedy thinking we want more bodies in there, but I think Michael Beale, because of the league position, it would be a big, big turnaround for Celtic to go and lose that. I think he's got the opportunity to sit back, get a couple in, look at the summer, identify what he needs, because he's looking for long term, not short term.
Nicholas Raskin, Mark, there's a few things that, you know, that are facts, if you like, before you've even seen him play, because we don't know how good a signing he'll be. But the age profile is good. 21-year-old Belgian under 21 international, comes from Standard Liège. Was described by Michael Beale as a 6 or an 8, which to you, if you think, right, that's the guy that would do the covering when you had made a big stupid run up the right flank, yeah, and had left your area, he'd maybe come and help you out. He's the one that would say, Mark, just you give the ball to me and I'll make things happen, yeah. That's the area of the pitch that we're talking about. People would say Rangers needed that, perhaps. So on those fronts, does it seem like a good acquisition?
It certainly does. I think when you look at his history, and you know, you always look at recent history, how many games have played in the league that they've played in, has he been a mainstay, then yeah, it ticks those boxes. Obviously international player as well at under 21 level, so you would think there's a progression there, albeit into a very competitive Belgian side, and probably is an area that Rangers need to freshen up in. I think they've got a lot of players in that midfield competing for places, but I think they need fresh faces, especially in that defensive midfield role. So 21, you're right, Gordon, it's a good age. If you're wanting to get the best years out of them and then maybe have a resale value on them, then 21 is a good age to get them in. Experienced European football, if he does well, he'll be like, he'll not be like any, you know, others, that he will get sold on if he does well at, yeah, Rangers. So seems to tick a lot of boxes, Gordon.
Sorry to burst your bubble, Keith. Andrew McLean was telling us, and even Michael Beale yesterday, it does not look like Morgan Whittaker will happen. I don't think that will take place this evening. If it was just Cantwell and Raskin, would you be happy with that, or would you want more?
Well, my second point in coming to you is the goalkeeper position. Years ago, I lived in Dunfermline, and I knew the chaplain of the Dunfermline Football Club really well. He's a good friend of mine. And he says to me, we're taking McGregor on. I watch McGregor progress through the youth. And he says to me, he's like, what's it like? I says, I'm telling you that right now, you're signing the next number one for Scotland. He's a brilliant keeper. And you know, I've watched Rory McCrory, McCrory, if I'm pronouncing that right.
Robbie.
I've watched him progress, and I rate him higher than McGregor. I really do. Oh. And I really like to see him getting a chance, because I think he's a phenomenal young keeper, and we need to start getting, as we do, we're bringing in 21-year-olds as well. McCrory, get him on, and bring a centre back up to him.
Yeah, he's injured right now, so you know he can't play immediately. I take the point more generally, which feeds into to Gordon. You know, you said, you know, fans are a bit greedy. You think two is okay. Mm-hmm. Would you understand why some fans would want more business done? Does this now tell you that, whether it's goalkeeper, striker, centre back, that, you know, there's then a lot to do in the summer? In an 100%. Ideal world, would Michael Beale have done more this window?
Yeah, and I think Keith touches on a great point with the goalkeeper. I think the goalkeeper will, obviously, a fresh face will come in, whether it'll be to go for a number one position, whether it'll be a number one goalkeeper and the rest will be back up, because McGregor obviously will not go on after this season. So I do agree. I think that between now and the end of the season, McCrory might get an opportunity to show what he can do. We don't see him day in, day out. Obviously, Michael Beale works with the coaching staff there, the goalkeeping coaches. So it's up to him to show in training, wait for his opportunity, and try and put himself forward for that number one position. But I definitely think Rangers will be bringing a goalkeeper in, no doubt.
Look, Mark, there's a lot of things that need to fall into place. If the right player isn't available at the right price and all that stuff, you're not just going to force it. You're not just going to do it for the sake of it to tick boxes. But still, would you have expected more than two? Or are those two of a quality that you think Rangers fans will be satisfied and do the rest in the summer?
I did think there'd be one more. I thought Whittaker would have got done, and it doesn't look likely, if I'm led to believe at the minute.
Yeah, I think less than unlikely.
Yeah, so just the way things were moving with Whittaker, and he was recalled and then he wasn't played, I thought, yeah, that's a certainty. Rangers certainly need someone to challenge Sakala or whoever else is playing in that right hand side. Been a position that they've been crying out for a long time. But look, if it's not right, you're right. Well, why pay over the odds for someone that you could perhaps get further down the line when you've a wee bit more time to negotiate it? It looks like that'll be business done for Rangers, and it's up to Beale to improve the ones that are already there.
David's a Rangers fan. Thank you to Keith, by the way. That was Keith from Hamilton. David's on the line. David, what do you think? Happy with Nicholas Raskin? Would you have wanted more business than this? What are your thoughts?
I was hearing rumours about, is it Onoma?
Fulham, yeah.
Who's torn his contract up, who seemingly Beale was looking at when he was with Queen's Park Rangers. I haven't heard of him, so I can't comment on what kind of quality player. But I'm glad that the players Beale's brought in are quality players, they're young players, and for a change we're buying players who don't have a history of injuries. But another thing that I think you can look at is Hadji's coming back. He got some time in the last game. He's another great addition and a great player. If Ruth can recover from the shoulder injury that he had, that's another player to come back. We've got players coming back, and I think for him to bring in more, I think he needs to get rid of some of the deadwood we have at Rangers, who are surplus to requirements, I think, with new players coming in. And I think, but yeah, the quality, I mean, he's got an under-21 Belgian international. Belgium are a fantastic team. For him to be in that kind of ilk, I think speaks good for the players that Beale's bringing in.
Yeah, Andrew McLean, the player David's referring to is Josh Onoma. What can you tell us about that one?
Yeah, he was certainly a player that was linked with Rangers earlier in the window. His name was being bandied about with Todd Cantwell as well. I saw that as well today, that he'd been released from his contract, but very quickly after that it came to light that it looks as if he's on his way to Preston North End, so I wouldn't expect there to be sort of any chat with him and Rangers tonight. It looks as if he's staying in England and it'll be Preston he's going to.
Yeah, it also looks like, if anything, Gordon, if we're basing this on what Michael Beale said yesterday, Andrew's told us already, it looks unlikely Rangers do anything else tonight. Right, it looks like it will be the two. Based on what Michael Beale said yesterday, centre back would be perhaps the one tonight. He said the picture becomes much clearer in the summer, but maybe they would try and force something through. So is that, how much of a priority would that be this evening for you?
I think if the right deal was there, I think they would try and force it through tonight to get him in. But I don't think they'll be held to ransom paying over the odds. I think they'll be patient. I think David does make a good point. They've got a lot of players on the injury list and quality players that when they come back, he'll have a very strong squad to pick from. I think he sees it longer term now, Gordon, because I think deep down inside, as much as you never concede the title, I think it'd be a miracle if Rangers could turn that round. I know there's still a lot of games to go, but I think Michael Beale has been very patient. He knows the way he wants to go. He knows how going forward he wants long-term commitment, the right age, the right player at the right price, and I think he's quite right to be patient.
So David, you sound happy with the two signings so far. You're acknowledging that there are other players that need to move. Does that all mean that, you know, you're fine with the two? You won't be left dissatisfied if the window closes and no more brought in?
Satisfied. I think he's brought in quality. I think come the summer there'll be a large clearance. I think you could find 6, 7, maybe 8 of the players who are in the squad will be leave. I think there's a lot of dead wood, which really, I mean, I think has been an absolute disaster. Hylander, I think, will be moved on. If the night's presumed, we can get people to buy them. But yeah, the two he's brought in seem to be quality, which will add to what we've got. And I'm quite happy with that.
There we are, David. That's two Rangers fans, and they're all happy with the business so far. Not that bothered about not getting any more in. How do you feel, other Rangers fans, about the numbers game? Would you have wanted more between now and the end, or are you satisfied with the work so far? 01419511025. We'll keep updating you on the news as it breaks between now and 8 o'clock, and we're looking for you to get in touch. It's the same question, no matter what team you support. What do you make of your business so far? What do you hope happens between now and midnight? And if it ends like this, will you be happy or not? It's a great time to call. We'll try and speak to you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Deadline day here in Scotland. You've got 5.5 hours remaining. 0141 951 1025. Get your thoughts in. Happy with the business so far? What do you want to see between now and midnight? And if it ends like this, will you be satisfied overall? Get your calls in. Fans of all teams. I can see St Mirren fans, Motherwell fans, Kilmarnock fans phoning in. We will get to them soon, because there are so many different stories to work our way around. So if you're getting your call in, don't you worry, we will make it round as many as possible. We spoke to a couple of Rangers fans there, talking about Nicholas Raskin and Todd Cantwell and the unlikely nature of any further arrivals. Andrew McLean, still nothing on Giakoumakis. Anything coming out of Celtic since we last spoke?
Still nothing on Giakoumakis, but one departure has been confirmed. Oliver Abeldgaard, who's had an unsuccessful loan spell at the club, made just 9 appearances after joining on loan from Rubin Kazan in the summer. His loan deal has been cut short and he is off to Italy. He's joining Serie A side Hellas Verona, so he'll be a teammate of Scotland international Josh Doig. But yeah, it's been not a successful loan spell. One of the signings, one of the few signings you'd say that Ange Postecoglou, it's not worked out for him. But Oliver Abeldgaard is leaving Celtic before tonight's deadline.
There you are. Not a huge surprise, not a huge departure, but nevertheless an official move there. Let's bring in Charles then, who's a Celtic fan. What do you think of the business so far, Charles? What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I think Celtic's business has been pretty good up to now in terms of the purchases, obviously. I'm just wondering about some of the outgoings. I've seen some of the other clubs in Scotland. I believe Motherwell and both Hearts have both signed the Japanese players. And I'm wondering if Gucci might have been a good fit for. I know Motherwell looked for two players. It was up to the latest talk. If Gucci might went to like some Motherwell Hearts, it might help the players settle. The way, you know, the way when Ange signed a couple of players for Japan, mm-hmm. we signed three because it helped them bed and it gave them somebody to bounce off. It meant like learn the kind of loan. And it might be the same thing for the players at Hearts or Motherwell.
I like Charles's style here. Mm. Charles is like an agent. He's trying to get Idiguchi moves to Hearts and Motherwell, which I'm absolutely fine with. I quite like that. I think for what it's worth, Andrew McLean's likely destination is back to the J-League. Is that right?
Yeah, back to the J-League is certainly the move that seems to be on the cards. There's also been some talk of Germany potentially. He has played there previously, had a short spell at Greuther Fürth, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him go back to the J-League.
I quite like it. I think we should start the rumour, because Motherwell need a defensive midfielder anyway. So mm-hmm. we should just start it, Gordon, see if we can make it happen. Charles gets 20%, you and I get 5 each. And
yeah, I don't know if Motherwell can afford that sort of wages, or right, and if that's the difference. Yeah.
Here's the thing. No, Gordon, is he any good?
Oh, I don't know.
Nobody's seen Idiguchi.
The boy got off to a bad start with injury at Alloa.
So we're not sure.
Yeah, we'll hold fire on that one. Charles, Oliver Abeldgaard, he has now gone. If Idiguchi follows, is that really what tonight becomes about? Is it just about trying to get rid of guys that, to be fair, are now miles away from the team when you look at the signings that have been made?
It's mentioned just every game the strength of the bench. You know, it's like a first team on the bench. So it's how hard is it for the guys behind them? You know, it's there's got to be a few outgoings. And some people just need to take it in the chin. You know, if it doesn't work with you, it doesn't work for you. At least Celtic have given them a chance in the first place and move on. No hard feelings kind of thing. So you've got to balance the books.
Yeah, I mean, Giakoumakis presumably will go tonight. Charles, sorry to see him go.
Absolutely. I was wondering when they signed him, when they signed O. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, what's this guy got that Giakoumakis hasn't got? Because they're both talking about physical presence. It seemed to be the same sort of type of player they're signing. So I was, my thought was, why is Celtic taking a gamble? You know, we're going for an A-League title. We should have maybe sat and kept Giakoumakis in no bother, you know what I mean? But we're only 9 points in front, you know, that's not a tremendous amount. Yeah, that could be overcame. So I didn't see any need to take a gamble. The boy O, when he did come on the other night, he did look good. He did have a bit of presence. He moved about a bit, played a good pass, he put a good cross in. It might have done it a wee bit better with. And he made a tackle at right back as well. So he was everywhere.
Yeah, it's certainly the closest thing to a saga, because you get these words that are only ever used during the transfer window. Giakoumakis must be the closest thing we've had to a fully blown saga, Mark Wilson, because yeah. A couple of weeks ago I did not think that at 6:30 on deadline day he would still be here, and he is. That doesn't make me think he's going to stay, but you know, I'm surprised it's as late as this.
Yeah, I'm the same as you. I thought it would have been done and dusted by now, especially when you hear you know, talks were advanced with other clubs, but you know, it's just dragged down to the last minute. Look, it's a sad one for Celtic, and can't quite remember the last time a Celtic player was probably as popular departing the club, because usually there's always people who go, oh well, his heart wasn't in it, and you know, he wasn't really doing it for us, and he'd went off the boil. Giakoumakis has been different. Celtic fans, the majority, if not all of them, have come on this show, said that he wish he'd stayed. And you know, I just wonder if he'll ever come to regret it. He's only been here a short space of time, and the fans took to him, and to be fair, he gave a lot in return. I just wonder if that's one that he might think further down the line, I should have gave that a wee bit longer.
I mean, that's going to happen tonight, isn't it, Gordon? I think you could tell from Ange Postecoglou when he spoke this afternoon, or was it this morning? I can't quite remember, but he spoke today, and he never goes in on it too much. In fact, I'll just play what he had to say. You know, he was asked about the exit door and what that would look like.
We'll get into the tail end of it one way or another, and we'll get a conclusion, I guess, over the next sort of 24 hours. But nothing concluded yet, just ongoing discussions as far as I know. If guys who haven't played a lot of football for us, they find other opportunities or seek other opportunities, we're comfortable with that. And potentially the ones who will leave are the ones who haven't, you know, got a lot of regular game time, which there's, you know, there's 4 or 5 in the squad. Now, I'm not going to talk about individuals, because then if nothing happens, then I don't want to sort of make it seem like, you know, players are staying reluctantly. If that happens, again, as I said, I'm really comfortable that we've brought in 4 good young players who will be contributors this year and beyond.
I mean, I suppose it wouldn't be completely unheard of, Gordon Dale, that move spectacularly collapses for whatever reason and he remains a Celtic player. He's got a long time left in his contract, but it would certainly be extremely surprising.
Yeah, it would be surprising. I think that the majority of the Celtic fans would be delighted if the transfer collapsed, Gordon, because Mark quite rightly says there, he's a big fan's favourite. He's not in that category. I was listening to the Celtic manager saying not a lot of game time. I know recently he's probably wanted a lot more, but he's contributed, scoring goals, coming on important games. He's been a big player for them. But he just feels that he wants regular first team football week in, week out.
Thank you, Charles. Let's bring in Kieran, who's a Celtic fan. Are you happy with the business so far, Kieran? Would you have liked something else to happen tonight?
I'm happy with something so far. We'd have maybe let's see my left back come in, but so far so good. It's been a good window.
Yeah, there's no sense of Ange Postecoglou doesn't strike you as liking the drama of all this, Mark. Some of these signings were announced before the window opened, never mind waiting around until deadline day.
He doesn't seem to be the type that wants to be up at midnight. He'll be tucked up in his bed, I think, fairly relaxed. And, you know, Kobayashi, Iwata, Johnson coming in just after the World Cup, followed by it's good business. You've got to say, again, don't know a lot about him, but you see him coming on at the weekend and he kind of makes an impact right away that makes you sit up and go, he's got something. And the rest of them, well, Kobayashi and Johnson look good players. Iwata we've seen little of, but again, looks comfortable. So I always think you're much better in that position where you aren't scrambling about, you know, on a Tuesday night up until, 11:30 at night, trying to get things over the line. I just think you're better sitting where Ange Postecoglou is, quite relaxed.
Yeah, Kieran, you mentioned you would have liked a left back. Is that about it? Is that as far as the wish list would have gone?
I can't see much wrong with our window. Just having a bit more depth in that position, because Burnaby's not quite up to that level, Taylor. I don't think he reaches there. But just a bit more depth and that would be perfect.
Abelgaard, it's not huge. I don't expect any Celtic fans to be crying into their dinner, but he's gone, Kieran. Is that what tonight's going to be about? Who else do you think will leave?
I think we'll see. I'd like to see a Welsh. It might be Bondi. I've seen something about him earlier. Just the rest of Deadwood, to be honest. It's not just taking up take up a wage, to be honest.
Yeah, Stephen Welsh is, if we can be selfish about this, Andrew McLean maybe slightly more interesting because he is Celtic's player. He's a product of the youth academy. He's a Scotland youth international. If it was to be someone like Hibbs, then you know he'd be staying in these parts as well. But it's gone a little bit quiet on him this evening.
Yeah, it has gone quiet. He was certainly one earlier in the window that there was talk of potentially going out on loan. He has had interest in previous windows as well. In the summer, Udinese tried to take him on loan. Celtic knocked that back. He, of course, played quite a bit of football at the start of the season when Celtic had injuries at centre-back, but then Moritz Jens came in and Carl Starfelt's come back from injury. We've now got Yuki Kobayashi, who's come to Scotland. He's at Celtic now as well. So, you know, there are options ahead of him at Celtic at the moment. It's just whether Celtic decide whether they want to loan him out or not and whether there's the right option for him to go out.
Thank you very much. That was Kieran in Bayliston on the line. It's 01419511025. Of course, the theme, the same question to all fan bases out there. Are you happy with the business? If it was to finish right now, would that be enough for you? Or would you be angry, frustrated that you hadn't brought more in? Ange Postecoglou says Celtic have achieved their objectives this window, lowering the age of the squad and making a profit.
We went into it sort of with the knowledge that there were a couple of areas we definitely wanted to strengthen. And yeah, everything we sort of wanted to get done and sort of we looked to try and do within this window, we've got there. And we've brought four players in who are under the age of 24 and for less money than sort of we've had to pay out. So from that perspective, I think it's our objectives going into the window have been achieved. The success of that will bear fruit, obviously, over the next few months and beyond is how well the new players contribute. But to be fair to them, they've already sort of made a contribution.
We'll bring you up to speed. If there's a Giakoumakis announcement, you'll hear about it here. What about Tony Watt heading to St Mirren? What about that Kyle Lafferty departure from Kilmarnock? That's unexpected. Motherwell have moved two out the door. What's going to come in the way? Let's see if we can get some of those questions answered next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here at 0141 951 1025, and it's Twitter at Clyde SSB as well. This is the type of deadline day that you're hoping for. Every time we take a break, every time we go to the travel, we've got new updates to give you by the time we come back on. So Andrew McLean, there's been some movement in Paisley and Dingwall since we last spoke.
Yeah, there has been. We'll start with Paisley. It's not the confirmation of the Tony Watt deal just yet. I am expecting that to go through before midnight tonight, but they have signed Thierry Small on loan, who is a left back. He will come in as a left wing back option for St Mirren. He comes in from Southampton. It's interesting as well because Tottenham had been linked with him on a permanent deal. He's just 18 years old, so certainly a player that Tottenham see potential in. Southampton not wanting to let him go out on a permanent deal, just a loan deal. So he'll provide competition for Scott Tanzer. Richard Tate has picked up an injury as well. He's played in that position. So that's one that Stephen Robinson was keen to get cover on. And another interesting one, you mentioned it, movement in Dingwall, and that's because Simon Murray has joined Ross County, the Queen's Park striker. He scored 18 goals in all competitions this season. His deal was up in the summer. Ross County were keen to get him on a pre-contract deal. What's actually happened is they've managed to strike a deal to get him in this month, and you wonder where that leaves Queen's Park, because a guy that scored so many goals, he's been a key part of their promotion push. They have brought in Connor Shields on loan from Motherwell. Will he be the man to fill the void? But Simon Murray has joined Ross County on a permanent deal. He of course joins Eamon Brophy, who joined on a loan deal as well. So they've got a new front line for the second half of the season.
Yes, very busy time indeed. Let's bring in Craig, who's a St Mirren fan and was hanging on the line when you heard about that confirmed signing. Craig, Tony Watt set to follow. Are you happy with those?
I think so, guys. I think thanks very much for taking my call. Evening.
Pleasure.
I think so. I think we need some fresh attacking faces in the door. I mean, obviously, Brophy's away, and then I'm not entirely sure if we would have been out looking for a new striker if Jonah Junga hadn't got injured at the weekend. But I think we need some fresh attacking faces in the door. You know, I've heard the rumour about Alec Lowry as well. You know, I was at the Dundee game a couple of weeks ago, and it was, you know, one of the worst games of football I've ever seen in my life, I think, from both teams. I was gutted when I found out it was going to extra time. So For me, yeah, it can only be positive getting some fresh attacking faces in the door.
What do you make of Tony Watt specifically, Craig? Because sometimes we have to be honest about these things. Teams like St Mirren or Motherwell or Kilmarnock, they'll often shop in a English lower league pool, and you don't know much about the players that come up. You just have to be honest about that. However, Tony Watt, we know everything about, because this will be his sixth Scottish Premiership team. He's played for half the league by the time he pulls on a St Mirren jersey. What do you make of that one?
I mean, I think realistically, I mean, I think his goal scoring record over the last, you know, 5-6 seasons has been inconsistent. I think recently, you know, when he was at Dundee United, certainly his goal scoring record was pretty good. But I think realistically for St Mirren, if, you know, Tony Watt was scoring goals every week for Dundee United, realistically he wouldn't be, you know, coming to us on loan. So I think that, you know, Stephen Robinson's transfer business so far has been fantastic. You know, he's brought in players like Trevor Carson, Keanu Backus, you know, Ryan Strain, you know, great signing. So I think we've got to trust, I suppose, that if Stephen Robinson thinks he can get the best out of him, that, you know, we've got to trust that.
Yeah, well, a player he knows well, having worked with him before. And look, Tony Watt is good value on deadline day. Gordon DL and Mark Wilson, because we said that this will be his sixth Scottish Premiership team, which is, I can't think of anyone who's played for more. We discussed this with Cammy Bell recently, because he's played for a few. And then someone tweeted me about Jim Hamilton, which he'd written a few.
Yeah,
I think he's out in front. But in terms of teams in the division at one time, Tony Watt have covered off six of them. Gordon, his move from Motherwell kind of came as a surprise. People thought he was settled there. Dundee United came and he went to Dundee United. That wasn't that long ago. Now he's heading to St Mirren.
I like the signing. I really do. I think Tony's got so much to offer. Didn't quite work for him at Dundee United. It took a long time to get his first goal. Didn't score a lot of goals up there. Used as a sub lately. He played his best football, there's no doubt, at Motherwell under the St Mirren manager. So they must have.
I was trying to think. I think maybe there was early Alexander. I was trying to remember this earlier. I think maybe early Alexander was peak. But he'll know Stephen Robinson well, obviously.
Yeah, I just think that with the experience he's got, Tony, the one thing about him is he's a terrific professional, good experience. He'll help the younger players round about him. He'll lead by example. I just think that if you can create the right chances for him, he'll score you goals. He can play in one or two positions, which will help. I think that's a very positive sign. It's St Mirren, I'll put themselves back in the top six after the weekend's result against Motherwell. And they want to stay there. So they've got rid of a couple of players. They've freed up some money, because obviously money's very tight. The manager's come out and said that lately. And I think he's used it wisely. Let me say that.
What's happened to Tony Watt at Dundee United, though? Because it seemed to be a period where obviously he signed for them, that he seemed to be a big player for them. And then all of a sudden he just disappears a bit. And you look where Dundee United are in the league compared to where St Mirren are in the league. The goals scored roughly about the same. St Mirren have two fewer. So you wonder why that's a move that's sanctioned. Obviously there's issues there at Dundee United, that Tony's maybe not happy with the game time, but there's obviously got to be a reason why he's not getting game time. So it's an interesting one. It's a strange one. You don't usually see players moving up
sometimes,
the league.
Sometimes clubs don't fit, Mark. You've been there. We've all been there. But you look at him at Motherwell. Motherwell were devastated, because he was playing absolute brilliant, scoring goals. He was a massive part of the team. But obviously money talks, and I think Dundee United financially were better offer than what Motherwell was, and I totally accept that. But sometimes you go to a team that just, it doesn't fit you, doesn't fit your style of play. You don't, you know, you don't have your best form. We've seen it before. I think going to St Mirren's a very good move for Tony.
Look, also, Tony Watt is more than entitled to move however often he wants, Mark Wilson. There is no judgment attached here. But what you would have to say is, if you're talking about someone who is about to go for his 13th club or something like that, like I say, that's fine, that's up to him. But he clearly doesn't hang about. You know, if there is a feeling that it's not right, or the game time isn't quite what it is, he doesn't want to just hang around and waste his time there. Yeah. The career tells you that.
Well, in one way, that's a good thing. You know, I don't like to see players just hang about and take the money and sit on the bench or sit unstripped in the stand. In another way, then, you've got to look at that. Oh, why has he got 13 clubs? Why can he not have any longevity?
This would be number 12.
Or 12. Why isn't that there? And agree with Daz, when he went to Motherwell, how many times did we say in this show that he's found a home at Motherwell, that the fans mm-hmm. loved him, the managers loved him, the whole staff loved him, and he played his best football and he scored goals. He's then jumped again to United. You know, St Mirren fans can be sure if he comes in and does a job.
St Mirren, as Craig says though, Brophy's gone, so they needed somebody, and it looks like that injury to Junga as well. So
again,
if
I was a St Mirren fan,
knows the league.
I don't know if I'd be getting what in the back of the family shirts. Of course it is. But he might do a job. Listen, I'm not doubting his ability.
Four letters, it's not going to cost you a lot, is it?
Four letters, is it? Alright, okay.
And you can just drop one of the T's if you want.
Exactly. But he's a good player, Gordon. You need to get him in form, and you need to manage him right. And he's got a manager there that might be able to do that.
Thank you, Craig. St Mirren fan from Paisley. What about Stephen, Motherwell fan? What's happening there, Stephen?
Very, very worried. I'm starting to panic a wee bit. I look at it, we've let go of two players today. I'm not too worried about Connor Shields, but Sanjay Solholm, we're a bit thin at the back. While our defensive record is okay, we've only conceded two more goals of half this season. We now need to replace Solholm. I still think we need another forward because of this big issue not putting the ball in the net. We've not replaced Matt Penny, and we've still got an Alan Campbell white midfielder, so I'm sitting here thinking we need four players with five others to go in the window. And when you see teams round about, you're strengthening. No good.
Yeah, I mean, where to start? Because Stephen's quite right, Gordon, and this kind of sums up where Motherwell are at the moment, because Connor Shields has joined Queen's Park on loan. And Sondre Solholm has been purchased. A fee has been paid for him. Now, on one hand, I've seen lots of Motherwell fans say, well, good, because neither of them have had good seasons so far. They've not set the heather alight. But Stephen points out that may be the case, but they also played nearly every game, which maybe sums up where Motherwell are at. There was talk earlier of, I think, Jed Gardner from Fleetwood, was it? I think he's now signed elsewhere tonight, though. There is no left back at all in the building because Matt Penny's loan finished and he went back to Ipswich. Paul McGinn's been playing there. They're stocked up on right backs. There is no fit recognised left back. Stephen wants another striker and really mentions the Alan Campbell position. Could be doing with a defensive minded midfielder as well. But other than that,
I've listened to Stephen before. He obviously follows Motherwell up and down the country. Very knowledgeable about them. I agree with him in the left back position, 100%. I thought Penny was a very good player. That was a big loss. McGinn, I think, is a decent player, but I don't fancy him at the left back position. He'll get out there. He's a great professional. Get out there and do his job. Yeah, somebody in the middle of the park for me. It's okay saying we need an Alan Campbell. They're very
hard. That's going to be tough to find.
That type to get in there and be the ball winner and, you know, get the drive it from the middle of the park, because that's where good teams get their energy from. And yes, maybe someone with a good bit of pace up top that'll trouble defenders' balls over the top and get into wide areas and create chances. So it'll be interesting to see the business Motherwell do.
Is it worrying, Stephen? Because you could say, well, look, Connor Shields, at least part of his wage, you would imagine, will be covered by Queen's Park. Motherwell wouldn't have done the deal in this in any other manner, you wouldn't have thought. Solholm completely gone. So you think, okay, maybe that suggests that moves are going to happen tonight. But with 5 hours left, as you say, it's a bit quiet, isn't it?
We're running out of time. We've got two wins in the last 19. Three wins at home since Boxing Day 2021 at the start that I keep getting back to in the week. So it's no good. I mean, and with this squad that's left, I doubt we're going to be able to just snap our fingers and it's magically going to turn overnight. Ross County have just signed Simon Murray, so they strengthened up front. Kilmarnock signing players last night. They've let go of Kyle Lafferty, so you're assuming that they'll bring in maybe another striker as well. So I'm very, very worried about the position we find ourselves in. Okay, we've brought in Dan Zaki, but it sounds like he's quite a technical player. And again, in the midfield, I don't think that's what we need.
Well, I think Stephen's right. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I said this period was important for Stevie Hamill about who you get in to the building. Now, he started making progress on that. However, letting people go out the door wasn't really what I was expecting. Solholm, as much as I've been critical, this is sometimes useful still having people around the club and you know, to push people on. So I think he could have been doing with keeping some bodies in. I don't know
you
how
have
much
to
business
assume, though, those two
is
are being
get done
with a view to replace them tonight, though.
You would like to think so. You guys, as Motherwell fans, would like to think so. Yeah. However, when all's quiet and you're not hearing much, that usually
we do
means nothing.
We do
happening.
Things late at night
would
in
you,
Motherwell.
Would you mind then? If you,
I bet you do.
Why don't you go and
go up to Fir Park?
Stand outside, shy. Fir
Park. I could do that. Just and
get
I could
your mic on.
These. Yeah, just
we could
ask.
Do our own version, you know, on deadline day. You know, people used to turn up and there was that famous one where people were sticking things in the reporter's ear. We could do that to you.
And
outside.
They'll not be flying because I know all the car parts up there. Let me guess.
You love having the big cars.
On that note, thank you, Stephen, who sounds concerned. We'll see what happens between now and midnight.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Teams are out in Dingwall and Kevin Nisbet is in the Hibs starting 11. So, can't imagine he goes anywhere tonight, or does he? Does he get a wee note past him on the pitch to say that he's on his way? I'm not sure. 01419511025. That's the number you need for Beat the Pundit, and the lines close at 7, so be quick.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's 01419511025. It's been a fairly busy day, I think. It's getting busier, hopefully. A few things still to report between now and 8 o'clock. That would be the ideal scenario. So we'll keep you up to speed. But it's the same questions, because this is the fans of all teams. We could do this for much longer than the 2 hours we've got tonight. What have you made of your business so far? What do you hope happens between now and midnight? And will you be satisfied come the end of the window? 01419511025. Remarkably, I don't think we missed anything concrete during the news, so we'll crack on with this and we'll take your calls in a second.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Always time for Beat the Pundit, deadline day or not. James in Kilsyth is on the line. How's it going, James?
Not too bad, Gordon, not too bad.
Good stuff. Would you be happy with Celtic's transfer window if it closes like it sits at the moment?
Well, I think all we had to do was look at the bench on Sunday, right? And see what's on the bench. And you know that the squad's tight, you know. So I'm quite happy with that, yeah.
That's a fair barometer, Mark. Sometimes it is a good way to
think
gauge
so.
It.
Yeah.
I mean, managers are never actually happy, are they? Because they'll always think that, I mean, you have to keep sort of wanting to improve. And Ange Postecoglou always keeps his cards close to his chest, but you wonder if this is him feeling
I think so. When you get four in, you know, you've got to give them an opportunity to prove that they're better than what you've got in the building. So, I think he'll be going to his bed a happy man this evening.
Right, let's toss the coin and see who it is up against. James and Kilsyth. If it's heads, it will be Mark Wilson, and if it's tails, it will be Gordon DL. And it is tails. It's Gordon DL. How do you feel about that?
I'm feeling okay, because I've had a sort of up and down. I'm either brilliant or I'm absolutely terrible.
Do you think
there's no middle ground with the DL boy?
Do you think the remarkable amount of fluff on your t-shirt is going to put you off your performance tonight?
I cannot believe it. I've got a new hoodie on. It's just absolutely killed me.
You've got to see that. A black t-shirt under a new grey hoodie.
Yeah, it didn't work.
Is a disaster.
You need a roller.
He looks like he's been rolling about the carpet.
I know.
Producer Callum, have you got a lint roller in your drawer? Do you actually going to get him one?
Where did you get your new zipper from?
I'll get a present from someone. It'll be a present from someone. It always
is. Designer, mate.
Versace. But look at that.
Are you talking about my hoodie?
No, look at the state of your
t-shirt.
It's the t-shirt I'm talking. It's covered in fluff.
I know, because I put on my new hoodie today.
It's putting me off.
And I hadn't washed my new hoodie. It's
disgusting.
And what happened was the fluff, because my hoodie is a wee bit cheap.
The t-shirt also looks cheap.
I mean, that's
look at the sleeves.
That's Asda.
I don't judge. I don't judge the price.
It's George and Primark.
It's just the fluff. It's the fluff that's really annoying.
The supermarket
spend
clothes.
A right few quid a
right,
day,
anyway, let's get you some Clyde 2 to listen to. Enough about that. Get him a lint roller while he's waiting. Producer Callum. James, you've got 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know. That's the advice for you, okay?
Okey-doke.
Let's go, your time starts now. Which Italian side did Brian Laudrup join Rangers from in 94?
Fiorentina.
What nationality is former Celtic player Christian Gamboa?
Pass.
Who's the only player in the Scottish Premiership to be sent off twice this season?
Pass.
Who was the last club team that Paul Lambert managed?
Ipswich.
Who scored Celtic's only goal against Real Madrid this season?
Jota.
Who's the youngest permanent manager in the Scottish Premiership at the moment?
Liam Fox.
Okay, let's bring Gordon DL back. Can you hear us, Gordon?
I can, but I just pass if I don't know.
Yeah,
let's go. Okay. I'm ready. The fluff line.
Which Italian side did Brian Laudrup join Rangers from?
Fiorentina.
What nationality is former Celtic player Christian Gamboa?
Pass.
Who's the only player in the Scottish Premiership to be sent off twice this season?
Pass.
Name the last club team that Paul Lambert managed.
Hartlepool.
Who scored Celtic's only goal against Real Madrid this season?
Jota.
Who's currently the youngest permanent manager in the Scottish Premiership?
Fox.
What current Scottish Championship team did Stephen O'Donnell start his pro career with?
The Championship team?
Quick. Three, two,
Wraith,
one. Time up. What do you think, James?
Patrick Thistle.
I think it's a 40 finish.
Yeah, you both got Fiorentina for Brian Laudrup. Christian Gamboa,
Costa Rican.
Oh, I knew that.
The only player who's been sent off twice in the Premiership this season.
What team?
Well, more pertinent, he's been sent off twice at the same away ground. Does that not help you?
No.
Liam Scales at Hibs.
Never got twice. That. I'll tell you what. What's that boy's name?
James.
If you get that, you can have the ball.
He did not get it, but he did know that Paul Lambert's last club was Ipswich.
Managed.
Huh? What do you want? What does that?
Oh, I thought Paul Hartley.
That's not my fault.
Oh no, you read that out wrong.
No, I didn't. 2-1 to
but
James.
But Paul Hartley was Hartley, wasn't it? Hartlepool.
Yeah. For all the relevance that has. Who scored Celtic's only goal against Real Madrid this year? It is Jota. Does James get that, producer Callum?
No.
He didn't even hear it.
No, I thought it was a debate. What did Jim say?
He said Jota.
No, he didn't. What did you say?
He sort of went
Jackie Marcus. No chance.
I'm leaving it up to Callum.
I'll tell you right now, if I get beat with that, I'm really going to be upset.
You didn't even hear it.
He did. Play that back. Jacka Jota. No chance.
Producer Callum's giving him it.
Nah, come on, mate.
Which means what?
My reputation's on the line here. You're not getting stopped in Asda.
Is he two up?
No, I got Jota.
That's so you did, right? One
two,
up.
2-2. No, 3-2, is it?
Stephen O'Donnell, Patrick Thistle.
One up to James. Who's currently the youngest permanent manager in the Premiership? It's Liam Fox.
Oof, where a boy there is there.
James got that as well.
No, he did not, did he?
He did, I'm afraid.
I'm beat.
Which means to equalise, you need which Scottish Championship team did Stephen O'Donnell start his career with? Partick Thistle. You said Wraith.
Right, no, I couldn't remember, but I'll tell you now. I want to hear before this ball, I want to hear his answer. I'm not accepting it. I'm not accepting it, James.
It's not up to you. He's the ref. He's Willie Collum. Look at him.
It's a tie break. He's get William your pencil Collum. And paper out.
William Collum through
there.
He's
at the screen. Right, at the minute, he's checking.
He's checking the monitor.
Matt, be honest. Our reputation's on the line here. I'll go walk down the street with a balaclava on now.
I had my.
You know what I mean? Backwards.
Doing us a favour. But I didn't hear it either.
Right, hold on. Here, hold on.
I don't have it yet. Are you honestly going to make us wait for this?
Yes.
Get the VAR drone on that you're playing.
Producer Callum,
put the VAR button on.
He decides.
No, he does not. Because I'm not getting cheated. I'm not getting cheated tonight. Right, here we go. I'll tell you what, big lamppost. You better have us right.
But I don't know what's going to happen here, because when I play this clip, you're just going to argue anyway.
No, I'll be honest.
So who gets the final say?
Me and Mark.
Now the ball's going to James.
I'll be up front and honest. James is still there.
Right, the ball's going to James, right? But for your own
10 pens in, James.
Because I wouldn't do that to James. But for your own sanity.
Let's hear it.
Who scored Celtic's only goal against Real Madrid this season?
Jota.
Jackie Jota. No chance.
I would game that.
No chance.
There you are. Mark Wilson says
no chance.
Jackie Jota,
his first answer.
Who scored Celtic's only goal against Real Madrid this season?
Jack Jota.
I see. Know what's happened there, right? He's got to say Giakoumakis, and somebody next to him went Jota.
There's no one next to him.
I could hear it.
Right, here's the deal. The ball is going to James and Kosyth, okay?
You what know, we'll do, Gordon. Between you know,
now,
I know.
Between now and the you end know of the show, I know. Between now and the end of the show, we'll take a poll on Twitter, or anyone can tweet me their thoughts. Right. Are we giving that to Gordon or not for his own sanity? But James, well done. As far as I'm concerned, you're a winner in my eyes.
Is that a tie break?
No.
Thanks very much, Gordon.
Well done, James.
I'm going to burst that ball.
Well done, Jake.
I'm telling you now, that ball's getting burst.
James deserves that. He's good answers in there.
He's getting
from
a,
James.
He's getting a, what do you call the masters, the big leather things? Pole masters.
Mould master.
Mould master.
A pole master.
Oh, he's getting a mould master.
That's something entirely different. Right, let's leave it there.
honestly, see, if that was me, I would not have got that. Jota. Hold
pole
on.
Masters.
So what I'd say is with
that's the name of that video you've been watching.
So my Wraith Partick Thistle doesn't count.
Nah, it's totally different.
Come on.
He deserved that.
Totally different.
Well done, James.
Alan Lappin says Jota's called Jackie Jota on the training ground. I've got no doubt, he says.
Giakoumakis, he was going. I mean, somebody whispered, I heard it. Elsie sitting next to him. It's Jota.
Elsie.
Aye, he's masses.
Anyway, right,
Jimmy and Elsie.
01419511025. I don't think we've missed anything confirmed during the news. Oh, in fact, we have actually, and it's another outgoing striker at Kilmarnock, Andrew McLean.
Yeah, an interesting one. Ollie Shaw has left on a permanent deal. He's joined Barnsley. It was, of course, a key part of their championship winning side last season, was their top scorer last season, 16 goals, but he has joined Barnsley on a permanent deal. So interesting, because obviously Kyle Lafferty has left the club by mutual consent, so you'd think that that may be an area Derek McInnes might want to address. I was speaking to him yesterday. He said that he was keen to bring in a creative type player. They did bring in Luke Chambers on loan from Liverpool yesterday. He's a defender, so potentially we could see Kilmarnock move for a more forward player in the last few hours of this window.
Well, great timing. Simon's a Kilmarnock fan on the line. Quite an interesting evening so far, Simon.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, the absolute irony of Gordon DL complaining about someone else cheating.
I know. Simon, his lawyer will be listening. He's the busiest lawyer in Scotland, so we better not take that any further. He's not happy with you. Kyle Lafferty, first of all, Simon, is that a shock?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially the way the club stood by him during the issues he had with the ban. It's not something that anybody really expected to happen. There's been a few rumours going around the last few days that he's really struggling with injury and that he might be contemplating, retiring. But then the fact that he's released on deadline day suggests that, maybe we're leaving it open for him to move on to another club. I was excited. I was looking forward to him coming back because I thought he could be somebody to put the ball in the back of the net, But now we all saw going to Barnsley, which has been in the pipeline for a wee while. We've got three strikers at the club, and all season they've scored a combined total of one goal. So it doesn't take a genius to work out where the issues are.
Yeah, Mark. Again, it's a bit like what we spoke about with Stephen, the Motherwell fan. You're at a point where you just kind of have to assume that Kilmarnock will sign strikers tonight. I don't know if they will. I don't know if they'll get the business done. But for Kyle Lafferty and Ollie Shaw, one a surprise, one not so much. But for them both to leave on deadline evening, that's quite something.
Yeah, well, you'd think Derek would have something up his sleeve if that's the case. When you look at him sitting bottom of the table, only scored 19 goals this season, they obviously need someone to fill that void. Now, Lafferty has missed a lot of the season because he's suspension, but even when he came back, did he only play a couple of 45 minutes? Shaw, not really been involved. So it's kind of back to what they had before, but you think Derek would strengthen that position. But again, we're not really hearing much in that front. Andrew might be able to tell us different, but we've only got 3 hours 40 odd minutes to go, so needs to get a move on in that respect.
I mean, Simon, maybe I'm guilty here of overanalyzing, because it's a very short statement, so there's not really much analysis to be done. But this, it says, it's with regret that Kyle Lafferty and Kilmarnock Football Club have parted company. So that bit makes me think that Kilmarnock wanted to keep him because they're full of regret. But then it says by mutual consent. So I don't know, like I say, maybe I'm over analysing these things. What's your feeling on it?
Yeah, I can agree with you. I think it's quite a terse statement. I think we're kind of, you know, after having stood by him, as I said, you know, it doesn't really make such much sense. We probably, you know, could have got rid of him at that point, but we didn't. So it's interesting because that would have probably ended his chances of getting a move this season, because who's going to sign somebody with a 10-game ban hanging over them? I think tonight is going to be really, really interesting. Looking into a lot of things that the journalists and stuff have been saying, that Rangers are wanting to get rid of a couple of their youngsters, and one of them's Lewis Mayo, who's currently on loan. We obviously would be interested in that because he's been very good for us. The rumours around Ayrshire seem to be that that is the deal we're trying to get through permanently, which would then trigger Alex Lowry on loan, which is that creative midfielder, because obviously he can only have one loan player from the same club. I think that would be excellent, because I think the Sun's reporting that Lowry to St Mirren's off. So, you know, maybe is there a reason for that? Is that because, you know, this deal to Kilmarnock's here? I don't think we're not creating chances. That's the issue. We are creating a lot of chances wide. We don't have that player through the middle who's creating chances, and then we don't have the guy to put the ball in the back of the net. So, you know, chances aren't really the problem. You look at the game on Saturday, it was a long, long day, a very expensive day, but, you know, XG stats, which obviously can be manipulated one way or the other, but, you know, we had a much higher XG than Ross County. We missed two absolute sitters. So creating chances isn't necessarily the problem in the wide areas. Mm-hmm. I think we need somebody to put a foot on the ball in the middle and create better chances through the middle. But, you know, it's going to be a really interesting night and a really worrying one at the moment, because as it stands, I think, you know, it's ourselves and Motherwell that are favourites for the drop, unfortunately. Sorry to say that, Gordon.
I think you might be right. What I'm now interested in is striker merry-go-round and the impact that has on relegation. Right, take a look at the teams in there. St Johnston have signed Zach Rudden from Dundee, right? Tony Watt has left Dundee United to go to St Mirren. I'm not saying St Mirren are involved in the relegation. Ross County have taken Eamon Brophy from St Mirren, and Kyle Lafferty and Ollie Shaw have left Kilmarnock. Who comes in there? Do Motherwell get their other striker? So it feels like this window and the firepower you can get in this window might go a long way to deciding who stays and who goes down.
I think Kilmarnock are very short as we speak, but you never know what's going on behind the scenes, Gordon. I tipped Kilmarnock from the very word.
That's just your United
not because I thought it'd be a very difficult season for them. The only good thing that they've got going for them is they've got a very experienced manager, and their team's round about them in real trouble. And Simon's right, one of those are Motherwell. It'll be interesting to see if Ross County can do that kick on again, like what happened last year. They looked doomed and then all of a sudden started winning game after game after game. Dundee United aren't looking too bad just now. So I think it's going to be a very interesting few hours at Rugby Park.
Are you as, I don't know if confused is the right word, Mark Wilson, but as let's just go with it, as confused about the Kyle Lafferty one as Simon and myself to an extent?
I don't think anyone would have seen that at the start of play today. The statement as well, you're right about the statement. We regret that Kyle Lafferty and Kilmarnock Park Company. So that seems to suggest it's maybe motivated from the player's point of view. And then you think, well, if you thought he had more to give, then why would you mutually terminate the contract? You would keep him because you are in the hole. And when you rightly point out those teams at the bottom, it's strikers that are going to help you survive in this league. You know, you can look at all their defences there and you'll pick holes, so you will get chances. But who's got the better striker is going to get a hole. So at the minute, the way it stands, it looks like Malky Mackay has done the best business. We said at the weekend he needed goals. He signs Brophy and White up front, and look what happens, he scored. Now he signed Murray as well. So it looks like he's done the best business at the minute. Kilmarnock seem to be short. Who have they got? Vassell and Vassell, Robinson, yeah. Have they up front? Now, that's leaving yourself short, because both of them haven't really chipped in when it comes to goals. So I just wonder if Derek does have something up his sleeve for the next couple of hours.
Thank you to Simon. Interesting night ahead at Kilmarnock. There's a poll on Twitter to see if you should get the Beat the Pundit victory. I don't know if the clip is attached for people to hear or not, but if you, it is indeed perfect at Clyde SSB. Go and check that out, and we'll give you an update on the results. No one's interested now in deadline day. This is more important, isn't it?
Yeah, Jackie Jota. See what he's doing.
If you get the point or not.
See, anyway, they've signed this new Jackie Jota.
More calls next. Get in touch.
taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Now at this time of the night, we usually do a full time teaser, but it's deadline day. We'll try to keep everyone across all the transfers, so let's push that to one side for one evening only. I'll bring it back tomorrow full time at Clyde1.com. Why not send me a question there and let me know if you want it used on the show tomorrow. Your poll is up, Gordon DL. If you go to Twitter at Clyde SSB, people can listen.
My poll is up.
Listen to the clip and they can decide whether the caller James should have been given the point for his answer. At the moment, and a few hundred votes in already, 70% in favour of James.
No chance.
Yeah, 30%.
That's jealousy.
Against
That's jealousy. That is just jealous people out there.
Look at this.
I do, however, have a present for you. We don't have much in here actually, but we miraculously do have a lint roller that you quite desperately need. So here you are, a gift from us to you. Sort out that T-shirt. It is offensive, quite frankly.
I think
there
be.
We go. Great technique. That man's done that before, eh?
Taking that off and setting fire.
That is great. Look at him. Please get that right sleeve sorted. That's the worst.
Tell him to.
It's him on that.
He can't be videoing people.
There's three big cameras in your face anyway.
I'm getting up and down here and he's videoing me.
Why you got that fist under your top like that? What difference does that make?
It makes it stronger so you can get. Look. See what I mean?
This is the worst minute of radio of all time. People just listening to the noise of a foam roller going across Gordon Dale's.
People just switching off
a lint
as they drive by the setting. Do you want me to do your back?
Anyway,
there we go.
01419511025. That's the number Colin has dialed. He is a Rangers fan. What do you think, Colin? Talk to me about the transfer business.
Evening, guys. Always good to hear you.
Thank you.
Taz is in great form tonight.
Mm. Something like that.
I still think there's a bit of business to be done, hopefully, for Rangers, and I think it will be a centre back, which will lead me on to perhaps easing the young Motherwell fans' fears of earlier on where this might come into play for them. I feel if Rangers can get a centre back in, it'd be great experience for Leon King to go to Motherwell for 6 months. But I'd like to see Leon King being partnered by Stephen Welsh at Motherwell. From Celtic, so potentially an old firm sort of rising duo.
I'm loving this. Colin's another one. He's organising moves for not only his own young talent but his rival's young talent as well. Leon King, that's an interesting one. I haven't heard much about it. Rangers would need to do a centre back in the way, wouldn't they though? And although Colin wants one, it's still looking unlikely. So
not going to do it.
No,
absolutely no chance. I'll tell you what, I do agree that eventually King for me, because I think that obviously Beale's looking for a centre back to come in there. He's got one or two good experienced centre backs as well. When everybody's fit, I think it will make sense at one point that King goes out and starts playing every single week, because the lads get good potential. You don't want to stop that, you want to keep pushing them forward.
The last update yesterday from Michael Beale, Colin, was he would try and force a centre back through, but it looked more likely in the summer. I think the latest update is that it is unlikely, but is that still definitely the one then that if it could happen tonight, that's the one you would want?
Do you not think it's quite ironic? We spoke last week about a certain Ryan Porteous and we now need a centre half.
But again, Mark, you have to just assume that fans can have their say and we can. Ryan Porteous if Michael Beale wanted Ryan Porteous, presumably he could have got him or could have at least made a move. What did he go for? 400 grand, which might have been too much. Rangers might not have bothered if he's out of contract in the summer. Hibs might have even upped that price if it was for, you know, to Rangers, because you're selling within the same league. He's gone to Watford. You can only assume it wasn't something Rangers were that bothered by.
I mean, Beale would have been well aware of the situation with Ryan Porteous, and if they didn't make any moves for him, it was because Beale didn't see him fitting into the team. You know, we're different. I stood here last week and I said that I thought Porteous would have been a good fit for Rangers. Rangers fans are saying it, you know, so it wouldn't have been a surprise from the outside, but obviously Beale has a certain way he wants to play, a certain profile that he wants to slot into his side, and Porteous didn't fit it. I would agree with you, Gordon. I think Hibs might have pumped up the price as well. In terms of King, I think it would do the boy good to get out on loan because he went through a hard time. Remember, he was in the team and it seemed like mistake after mistake. He wasn't the only one that was making mistakes, but it seemed like they just piled up one after the other in high profile games. He would benefit from going somewhere, but it won't be now.
John Souter, I suppose, will be coming back. And yes, I hear everyone saying, you know, the injury record, Hollander's further away. So if it's Goldson, Davies right now, Leon King maybe even next in line there, Colin, if business isn't done tonight. So it would be pretty tough to let him go, wouldn't it?
If you're putting it down like that, then if there's nobody coming in, he's certainly third choice. But if we did manage to get something over the line, I would like to see him, as you say, recover from the kind of the torment he had in the first 6 months.
If it did, so if it ends like this, Colin, Raskin and Cantwell, are you happy with that, or how would you describe it?
I'd be a bit disappointed. I'd probably like Beals thinking that we needed four. If the four was there to be done, now was the time to do it. If, as I said, as any proper Rangers fan or whatever, you're admitting the league's gone, so your focus is on two cups. So this was probably the best time to get full-time deals in and get them bedded in for 6 months. You compact your pre-season, you hit the ground running.
This is why some managers do keep their cards close to their chest, and maybe we get too hung up on numbers. Michael Beale, I think, did say three or four. Did he say three or four at the start of the window?
Mm-hmm.
End up with two. I mean, to some people, that's who cares, you know, if it's Cantwell and Raskin and they're good and they're starters and they go in fine and you do the rest of their business, some people will hang right on that and say, how have we gone from three or four to two, which is not that big a difference, obviously. But Colin certainly wanted a little bit more business.
Yeah, but the manager will be looking for quality over quantity. Yes, if the ideal candidates were there to get three or four in, I'm sure they would have pushed the boat out to do that, Gordon. I think the summer transfer window is a lot better than the January one. You can pick up some good players in January, let's not be kidding that, but I don't think there's any rush for a Rangers manager, because if he does get players back, if you look at the injury list he's got, if he gets players back, he's certainly got a strong squad to pick from.
I'm not too sure I agree with that. I think Beale will be frustrated at that. If he's put his neck in the line and he seems pretty forthright with everything he says about transfers, even the striker he's chatting about in the summer, that if he says three or four, and I'm pretty certain he says that he'd done his bit in identifying those that was over to the others to get the deal done, then I'm pretty sure that that would frustrate him.
That said though, Morgan Whittaker, a bid went in, one bid, and it was knocked back, and then Michael Beale sort of, he was asked if he would identify another target in that area, because that would normally make sense if you can't get this one. Get, you know, go for someone else. But he said, well, no, we're kind of fine with that, because Cantwell, and you know, they play that sort of narrow position anyway sometimes, and Hadji comes back and all that sort of stuff. So it didn't sound like he was too desperate for that area.
Well, he wouldn't. I don't think he would be wanting to substitute another player in just because he couldn't get Whittaker. Pretty sure when he says, I've identified targets, and he presents those targets, Beale's not in the industry of going out and then negotiating deals. He's got other things in his plate. So that's
But you've usually got a list of sort of, you know, for each position, don't you? If that's a position you've identified. Yeah. But they obviously weren't that desperate for that position.
That might not be whoever's doing the dealing for Rangers going and putting that one bid in. They might have got the feedback that Whittaker doesn't want to come to Rangers. Remember, there's different parties when you're doing a transfer. It's okay identifying a player saying, yeah, we'd like Whittaker in, go and try and get him. And then you go in, you open negotiations, and you realise Whittaker doesn't want to come up north. He doesn't want to come up the M6. So at the end of the day,
it's the bid though, isn't it? The club knocked the bid back.
Yeah, but you might have got the fact of saying, right, okay, there's always negotiations to begin with a bigger
bid. Whittaker up in the summer, his contract? No, so he's still got a couple of years left. Okay.
So they could have went in with a bigger bid. But once again, we don't know what's happened behind the scenes. They could have had a chat with the lad who
I think Swansea just knocked the bid back.
Yes, but at the end of the day, I'm talking about other players as Gordon.
That's why I talk about motorways. No, people want to come up with motorways, right? Okay, but then they want to come up.
But negotiations that are done through agents and players and clubs, and so it's not just as simple as saying, I've identified X, Y, and Z, get me them in here, I want them in the training next day. doesn't happen that way. And I think Michael Beale right now is quite right. He identified a few players. He got two in. He's happy with them. I think he'll do all his business in the summer.
Colin wanted a bit more, but we agree to disagree. Thank you, Colin, on the line. What about William, who's a Motherwell fan? How's it going, William?
How you doing, guys? Just like to put a couple of points across. Big Motherwell fan. All my brothers and my pals and that as well, family. I just don't think we're doing enough. I don't think anybody wants to come to us because it's been very quiet. We're not getting told nothing. Like the Tony Watt. I'd like to see Tony Watt back. I didn't get to their growth game due to work circumstances. Went to the game on Saturday and it was absolutely atrocious. Honestly, I've seen a better game with kids on the park. Is there anybody out there got an answer to what's going on in here?
Oh, that's a good question, Gordon DL.
Yeah, he's a jinx because he didn't go to a Brothmoor one. I'm worried for Motherwell, Gordon. I really am. You know, Stephen come on the phone and come out with a stat that Mark and I both looked at each other about the home wins. They can't buy a win. Yes, they had a good result up at Arbroath, but you'd expect them to win that. Although it was always going to be difficult, and well done to them. League form is really, really poor. They're in real trouble. And if they don't start picking up, and I'm talking about tomorrow night at home against St Johnstone, then they are certainly staring relegation in the face.
Next 4 and a bit hours, Mark, are going to be massive.
Because
they were going to be anyway, mm-hmm. but Solholm and Conor Shields have left tonight. So
you need bodies in, and you need bodies to create competition and push for first team places. I mean, we chat about Rangers and Celtic getting bodies in, and bodies in to make an impact right away. And that's going into very good squads. Motherwell, you know, you can take that upper level because the squad that they've got at the minute has gone backwards. Declining badly. You look where they were a few weeks ago to where they are now, and they're locked in a relegation battle. Make no mistake about that. So they need bodies in that can go straight into the team and make an impact. But when there's no sight of any in the horizon, I can see why William and Stephen earlier on are concerned about the way the club's going at the minute.
I've got to say just quickly, every week I say, no, Motherwell can't get relegated. We know they're in a relegation battle, but if they don't win in the next, and I think it's Aberdeen away at the weekend, so it's going to be real difficult, and they're losing silly goals, Gordon. The manager, I've noticed, Stevie Hamill's come now. He's saying the same things every single game. He must be frustrated as well. They need to start picking up points because they're really struggling.
What areas of the pitch are vital? What's the priority, William?
We need a striker. That goes without saying. I don't know. I'm in a chat with all my pals at Moral Fans. I don't see why we're not going for the likes of Lee Griffiths. A guy knows where to be in the boat and put the ball in the net for you. That is an answer.
Is he now though, Mark? I mean, is he? I mean, he doesn't play football currently, as far as I can gather.
Well, what Motherwell?
His last spell was an underwhelming one at the middle of League One.
Yeah.
So
Motherwell need players who can affect the squad at the minute. So if you bring in someone like Lee Griffiths, then how long does it take to get up to speed? And then are you really getting the Lee Griffiths that we all remember, where he scored the free kicks for Scotland, the goal scorer for Celtic?
You have to say the answer's a definitive
removed.
No now, isn't
no,
it?
Yeah, far removed. So it's not worth the gamble, in my opinion, for that. But I agree with William. You do need a striker. Daz mentioned earlier, maybe somebody with a bit of pace that can affect teams over the top. That's right, I agree with that, because you've got your bigger guys up there who can hold the ball up, who are goal scorers to a certain extent. But you need runners in behind to create space. Motherwell don't have that.
It just shows you why you need a more detailed analysis, Gordon, because we sometimes look at goals for and goals against. It doesn't tell you the full picture, because Motherwell's goals for column is fine compared to its rivals, fine. And as is the goals against column. So, you know, if you were to base it on that, like some people do lazily on here, then you think, oh, well, the defence is okay and the attack's okay, when it's obviously not, because you look at where they are. Van Veen is there, not everyone's cup of tea, but he's round about a 1 and 2 striker, which is fine. It's good. And obviously Mandron came in, he's now injured. Danzaki, I think, a bit more attack minded if there is to be a new striker. Is that your priority or
No, I would probably look at the left back. I would look to fill that position. I know McGinn's playing there, but that's not his normal position. You've lost probably one of Motherwell's best players, a boy Penny. I thought he was very good indeed. I really did. I think he had a lot of quality. So you've lost that out of your team. I'd look at that. Solam is away tonight. Now, money's come in for him. I don't know what the bid is. And I would have accepted that as much as he's played a lot of games. I just didn't think that partnership with Lamy, I think they were causing, especially against Hibs. I think all went wrong against Hibs. Certainly, I take Stephen's point when he come on and talking about that midfield player that has got to be the ball winner, the Keith Lasley, the Alan Campbell. But once again, very difficult to pick up, Gordon. They need about three to four players in there to give it a lift, freshen up. I think if you get the right players round about Van Veen, he can score your goals.
Would you take one that's just been let go by Kelly? Lafferty?
Are you asking me? I think Lafferty's an impact signing. He comes in and I think he does okay
for the second half of the season usually.
Yeah, I think he could get you goals.
But that sounds like a yes.
But there's more priorities for me, because one, I know what Gordon's saying about the chart there. He's looking at the goals against, goals for. I think that
it's the nature of the goals that have been conceded.
Yeah,
I
think you've got to tighten that up.
Thank you, William. 01419511025. We're on to the final part of the show next. More transfer updates to come.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Right, into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, which means 4 hours 13 minutes if you're keeping count on the deadline for transfers. Andrew McLean is still with us. He's been keeping us up to speed on all the transfers tonight. I suppose, Andrew, worth bearing in mind that the midnight deadline is there, but you know, certain types of business can still be done thereafter.
Yeah, we've seen it beforehand. First of all, it comes down to having the right paperwork submitted at the right time. So sometimes you'll see deals being confirmed by clubs after the midnight deadline or even the next morning. Sometimes that they will be confirmed just if certain details need to be ironed out or there's the specific clearance that's needed for those transfers to go through. But you can also sign free agents after the midnight deadline. That's why you see a lot of the time, you know, clubs will release players from their contract before the deadline, because it means they're then allowed to sign for another club after the deadline. That's why, for example, Kilmarnock have chosen this time in the window to release Kyle Lafferty and not done it tomorrow, for example, because it means that he can now go and join another club. And of course, lower leagues are still allowed to loan in players after the deadline as well, so there may be some Premiership clubs that are looking to loan some of their players out and can do that across the month of February.
So there you are, Motherwell fans, Kilmarnock fans, whoever else it applies to. It's not all done and dusted if you don't have the players in by midnight. Are there any other updates there, Andrew? You had loads for us at the start of the show. I get the sense it's maybe quieting, getting a bit quieter maybe before a late upturn.
Yeah, it's a bit quieter at the moment. There's been a lot of talk about Callum Patterson at Hearts, whether that could happen. It looks as if Hearts' business is done for this window though, so I wouldn't expect to see Callum Patterson in a maroon jersey certainly in the second half of this season. Hibs have made a couple of bids for Wales international Johnny Williams. He's at Swindon, but that one looks complicated. They've got a new manager in Jody Morris today, so that one, you know, has thrown a bit of a spanner in the works. Surely Motherwell have got to do something, because we've seen Saul Holm and Shields both away. They'll be working towards the deadline. St Mirren, of course, Tony Watt is the one that should be coming in on loan before the deadline. Ethan Erehon and Dylan Reid heading out. But apart from that, I'm sure there will be a few things going on here and there around the different clubs, and hopefully we'll see a few surprises before the deadline as well. There's always something that happens, isn't there?
And there's a game tonight, of course, Ross County against Hibs. But if we were to link that to transfer news, are we just left to assume that Kevin Nisbet remains a Hibs player? Because he starts, he's playing right now. So how he's going to leave before the end of the night, I don't quite know. I mean, it's possible, but is he a Hibs player for the foreseeable?
I would think so. I thought if he was going out the door, he wouldn't have been involved at the weekend. He comes on and makes an impact at the weekend. So I think he's a Hibs player until the end of the season. No doubt about that.
Does make the full thing intriguing, Gordon DL. Because we're all nosy. We want to know the full story. Because on the face of it from the outside, and forgive me if I'm being unfair, Kevin Nisbet is the subject of a bid from Millwall, which is accepted by Hibs. He goes down to Millwall. Even Millwall's worst offer of a wage
better
is probably three times what he's on at Hibs. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Would that be
maybe
accurate?
Yeah.
Millwall's worst offer probably mm-hmm. three times. Again, forgive me if I'm being unfair. And then the official line, the official reason is, you know, a change of heart or whatever. It didn't happen. And now he stays at Hibs.
It might have been the case he just didn't feel the right move for mm-hmm. him. Financially, yeah,
but people sort of assumed that if that was the case, it's because the right move was about to arrive, or someone had told them the right move was there. You know,
you can get into a club, you can sit with managers, you can sit with directors, and you get a sort of a feeling that
sure,
no, this isn't going to work for me. I don't know if that was the case.
That can't have happened a lot, where a player actually travels down and sits with a manager and turns around and says, no, this isn't for me. Not at our level. That can have happened a lot.
But it can. You can travel down, you can look at the surroundings, you can, you know, speak to different people and change your mind. That's his priority. There's no problem that. But I think, to be honest with you, I think there'll probably be more than that. I think that financially it would have been a terrific move for him, because, as you say, he would have been on 3-4 times his wages at Hibs.
Something I thought we would speak about longer tonight, and we've just not had the chance. It's been an extremely busy show. Aberdeen are signing players. That they've signed a couple now. Obviously those were deals that were just done. They were in the pipeline before they changed manager. That on the face of it looks quite chaotic, Mark, when new players have to come in. They thought they were signing for a manager that's no longer there. Barry Robson will take charge of the team. Difficult, very difficult situation.
That's a strange one. Now, I know the deals must have been already lined up to just get the button pressed on them, but when those players have had discussions with the manager, or the ex-manager now, and they think they're coming to play for him, what an odd situation to go into. You're now playing for an interim manager and Barry Robson, who may or may not get the job. The club is in chaos at the minute, from top to bottom, from signings coming through the door. One thing they do need is better players. Now, on the face of it, it looks like they've got a good squad, but, you know, the proof's in the pudding. What's went before? Jim Goodwin, Stephen Glass, not good enough from the squad that's been there individually. So they need better players, but it's an odd situation where they're coming
here
in and playing for.
Here is what Barry Robson had to say today.
We're all men. We all know that the expectation from ourselves, from the fans, from your families even, you know. So we need to go and try and turn this around. And listen, you don't become a bad player or a bad coach or bad over a week. That doesn't happen. So what we said to them is you've got to run, you've got to work, and you've got to, we'll give them a couple of wee ideas that what we'll do and how we'll try and help them. You move on, it's gone. You can't change the past. We all know that. And I know it's all cliche and you're probably bored of listening to that, but that's the truth. So why sit and think about it? We've got to move on.
I get that mindset, Mark. It's very positive, it's very forward thinking. The Aberdeen player who was interviewed today was Johnny Hayes, though, who said it will take a bit of time to move on because it was the worst 10 days of his entire career.
Yeah, and I can believe that from Johnny. But Barry, what you've heard there from Barry, I was a teammate of Barry over two clubs a long time. That was him as a player. He quickly got over things and he moved on, and that was what made him the competitor he was on the pitch. Different as a manager. Now, I get he's been put in charge and he has to send a message out right away. The right message that the fans want to hear. Maybe the fans want to hear that. He's got to go on with the job in hand, and that is getting results. It's going to be difficult because he has to get the best out of the players. He says here, you don't become a bad player or coaches or team overnight. Well, or a week. It's been much longer than a week that this team has showed signs of regression. So he needs to get them back playing with a wee bit of confidence and get results instantly.
Yeah, I think Aberdeen are all over the place now. I think what I said on Saturday, weak leadership for me. I've had stronger mints. I don't think they're in a good position just now. Barry Robson may just give them that little
it's
bit.
It's too late in the show for me to react to how bad that comparison was. So just carry on.
Like most other clubs, they need to start getting results. Barry Robson's put himself in the position that if he starts getting results, he may get the job.
I hate to tell you have been soundly beaten on the poll.
Yes.
The the listeners have voted, and James the caller wins Beat the Pundit, yeah, sorry to say. But there is a video of Mark Wilson taking the lint roller to your back now on Twitter for anyone who wants to ruin their own night. Anyway, thank you very much. Thank you to Andrew McLean as well for keeping us up to speed on the transfers. It's a very busy start. It's quieting down a bit. What will the next 4 hours have in store? Well, you can find out on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Make sure you follow that, and then tomorrow we get to look back on it all. Hopefully exciting stuff with Marvin Bartley and Cammy Bell, and in fact 5 big games in the Premiership tomorrow as well, so you're not going to want to miss that. We will speak to you then, and Callum Gallagher will speak to you next.